The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Hallelujah. Okay, we already are in a different month, and by the first day of this week, we started the prayers that led us into this month. And so our Father had declared that this month is the month of the transforming power of honor. The transforming power of honor. That is the theme of this month. The month of April is a month where we'll be looking at the transforming power of honor. We're not just looking at honor, but we are looking at the power that transforms in honor. And so I think we will be reading together scriptures. If you have your Bible, you have to pull it out, and then we'll read together and share together. I have some thoughts put together for us to listen to tonight. Amen? Okay, if you have your Bibles, Romans 12, verse 10. We'll look at it from the Living Bible, and then we'll also look at it from the NIV. I'm sure the slide is coming on. Okay, the Living Bible will say, if you have it, are we there? Do we have our Bibles in our hands now? Okay. The Living Bible will say in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. It says, love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. The NIV version of that scripture says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. This is the month that we said is the month of the spring, that everything is springing up, especially new life is springing up. And when we speak about honor is best looked at when you imagine or a vision the display of the cross. Honor is best explained when you look at what happened on the cross. Like I said, every chapter of my life, every day of my life is a story with Ben and Kay. I'm privileged to just say an experience I had with them when I came to this church. I used to, at a point, work in Government House, and I resigned and I came to church. Not because of anything, but just to serve. I just loved church because of the experience I had. I felt the family that I've never felt anywhere. So I could give up working with the government and then just to come here and stay. That was just my mind. That was just my mission. And one of the days, when I was working, I was having money. And at a time, because I had not learned the principles of money management, making and multiplying money as it is in the kingdom, and then believing God totally for your supplies. So at a point, I was still doing, okay, let me do this, let me do that. And one of the things, the riskiest thing I did at a point was, I'm not good with money as it is. I was not good with money. If you give me money, for instance, you give me 1,000 naira, and then I'm on my way home, and I see someone who is in need of 1,000 naira, or maybe 2,000, the one you gave to me to go and give to someone, I've not gotten to the person. Me, I believe that before I get to the person, the 1,000 naira you give to me will just come out anyhow. So on my way, I will give to the person who has need of it because I have not gotten to the person that I was sent to. So that was the life I live. Sometimes God will have mercy, and before I meet the person, the 1,000 naira will come out. Other times, the mercy of God, whether it's me that don't meet it, or it's the mercy of God that don't meet me, I don't know. So I will be, you know, I will find myself in a situation where I need to hide because I had committed foul. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to explain?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, man. All right. And so, based on that, there was an experience, my family member, when I mean my family member, not just someone from my place, but my family member from my village, my family member. It was 800 naira. It was 800 naira. I was owing 800 naira at home. So the person didn't know where to report me other than to come to church. And so the person came to church. When the person knew that at least I've given up work, I'm now in church. Now, for me, you know, the story is funny, eh? For me, I think it is the church that should report me to my family because I have done something in church. But in this case, the reverse is the case. It is my family that is reporting me to church. So the first shock I had in my life with FEM Foundation after my welcome was that when they came to church, she came and started quarreling. Her office was in front of this toilet then. Pastor Charles had an office there. Pastor Tony, Momiuzo, Pastor K's office was here. The window was there. So there was no way you would start quarreling there that Pastor K will not hear from our office. So I had invited them to church so they know the setting. So they put quarrel at the window where Pastor K will hear. And she eventually heard. You know, for me, shame, I don't like it. So Pastor Tony came out and asked them. They narrated me. Shame wore me clothes. Now, why I was ashamed was the person you are narrating me to doesn't know me. It is him that is supposed to narrate me to you. And at the end of the day, Pastor Tony went to meet me. I don't know how it happened because I wasn't in the system. Pastor Tony came out and asked, how much is the money? He now said 800 naira. Pastor Tony said 800 naira. He now said, okay, don't worry. I don't know how the 800 naira came out and then they gave to her and she left. And I was supposed to close that day and go back home. And I actually closed from church, from activities, and went home. Now, my point is not that they paid the money. My point is this. I was brought to the cross. My family members brought me to the cross for crucifixion, wearing a cloth of shame so that everybody who is supposed to know me after that would know that I had a tag. But the people they came to report me to knew me much more than my family knew me. So they picked me. They didn't put that shame on me. Rather, they took off the shame and still released me to them. Now, when I said that honor is best understood when you look at the cross, is the reason I brought that story. I'm telling you my life experience, what I experienced in this compound. I'm not telling you what I experienced outside. So it is like every one of us was to be shamed on the cross. The world was to come and watch us and see how shameful we can be. But someone stood and said, instead of him receiving shame, pull him down. Put me up there. And so Jesus came and took my place and let me go. So when I stood aside, I watched him receive shame. And then something begins to tell me, this man that is being shamed, this man that is being pierced, he is the one, I am the one that is supposed to be there. But he relieved me of that guilt, of that shame. He brought me down and put up himself, even though he didn't know what I had done. Do you understand me? So honor is helping to cover someone's shame. Honor is helping to cover someone's shame. That's why the Bible says, everybody, Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. What am I talking about? I'm still talking about the transforming power of honor. You can write this down. What is the principle of honor? The principle of honor states that every one of us should accurately acknowledge who people are. Every one of us should accurately acknowledge who people are. Doing that will position us to give them what they deserve and for us to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. I'll read it again. It is for every one of us to accurately acknowledge who people are. In doing that, we will position ourselves to give them what they deserve and to receive from them the gift that they carry to share with us. Honor is accurately acknowledging who people are. And if you acknowledge who people are, it will position you to give to them what they deserve, what you can give to them. Not necessarily what they deserve, but what you carry. And then it will also position you to receive what you can or what you are capable of receiving if you honor people. So it means one of the transforming power of honor is for us to receive and give ultimately. Is to receive. The principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. Let's roll. Thank you. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationship. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationship. If the principle of honor is upheld in a family, in a community, in an organization, one of the things you will see is that you will see new life coming up. You will see people coming out of their cocoon, coming out of their hiding places, and becoming who they really are. And when everybody is released to become who he is in an organization, the organization enters into its destiny. Most organizations are yet to enter into their destinies because the people around have not fully been honored. They have not come out of who they are, they are to what they are meant to be. When everybody is exercising his God-given destiny, the organization becomes a new organization altogether. It will enter its destiny because it is the sum of every of our destiny that amounts to the corporate destiny of an environment. Do you understand my point? Okay. Let's look at this. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, 41 and 42. He who gives honor to a prophet in the name of a prophet will be given a prophet's reward. And he who gives honor to an upright man in the name of the upright man will be given an upright man's reward. Verse 42, it says, and whoever gives to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he will not go without his reward. Now, if the Bible says he who gives honor to a prophet, who is a prophet? A prophet is not that person that prophesies. A prophet is the person who calls you by your identity. So it means the person sitting by you, if he calls you by your identity, by this scripture, he's a prophet. It means if you call the person sitting by you by his identity, by what God says the person is, it means you are a prophet to the person. You may not look it now, but if you are calling the person by his destiny, it means you are his prophet, he is your prophet. And if you receive the person sitting close to you in the name of that prophet, there is a reward that is attached to you. And what is that reward? The reward is that every one of us will walk in our divine identity. Every one of us will begin to see that our identity rubs off on all, and then the organization, the society, the community, the nation itself become God's nation. I'm privileged to work with Pastor K in some areas, and one of the things I found out is recently we're working somewhere where an organization, they have a common boundary. A common boundary. And the people of this organization crossing this boundary causes a kind of challenge. In my mind, over the night, last night, I was thinking, how can this cause, how can you enter my gate and then because of a falling fence, I enter through your gate to enter to my side? Why has it caused a kind of challenge in a public school? And over the night, I was sleeping, man. Something dropped on me. Do you know that when rain falls, if you are either walking or you are driving, and you walk by some people's fence, when you come, well, before you come back, they would have rolled stone to come and block it there. So it means that there is a common mindset in this society. Don't trespass me. So that mindset is in the mind of the children we have given birth to. And they have carried that mind to the school where they are. And their fence has fallen. Another student of another school has now crossed that their fence. That has resulted to a national issue. We are blaming the children. Isn't that? But did it start there? I am sure they took it. They took that identity from home. They have seen their parents come to block where the vehicle of other people are passing by their houses. So if their parents have done that, why will a fellow student come across their gate? Simple and short. So if everybody, if those children must be identified and be treated, you have to first of all identify their parents and treat their parents. Their parents should be seen to be people who are honorable enough to allow people to pass through their houses. Once the children see that, if any other person is passing through their fence, it will not be a challenge anymore. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. What if you refuse a prophet in the name of a prophet? I wonder what we are going to receive. Amen? All right. The way everybody is quiet, I don't know. All right, my sister, please help me touch it. Okay. Is that the next one? Honor will become our culture when our community learns to discern and receive people in their God-given identities. When I mean a community now, I have become a prophet to our nation. So our community, the way we are seated, we must learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identities. All of us as a community, we must receive people. And we cannot all receive people until we have individually started to receive people in that way. It is our individual receiving of people in an honorable manner that will become the culture of the house. The culture of the house. The house cannot be honoring people and then we are dishonorable individually. It is the honorableness, if there is anything like that, of the individual persons put together that will result in the honorableness of the house. So my honorable colleagues, are there honorable colleagues in the house? Are you sure there are honorable colleagues in the house? If you are honorable colleague, say yes now. So it means being an honorable colleague means that you know the culture of honor. Me, I know the culture of honor. We are upholding it together. You are not dishonorable where you are. I am not dishonorable where I am. All of us, whether we are together or we are in different places, we are doing the same thing. It is called honor. It is the culture of honor that has the power to bring transformation to all facets of our society. If you look at what I've said in capital letter, it is the culture of honor, not just one dot of honor. It is the culture of honor. It is the lifestyle of honor. It is the lifestyle of honor, the culture of honor that will bring transformation to our society. Okay, let's look at some dangers of dishonor. Of course, you know, in our definition of honor, it is seeing the glory in another. It is seeing the glory, releasing life and seeing the glory in another. What are some dangers of dishonor? I think I have about four, and then I'll be out of your way. Some dangers of dishonor. Number one, dishonor will reduce our encounters with people to human level. Dishonor will reduce our encounters with people to human level. We were not made humans, we were made spirits. It means our communication, first of all, should begin in the spirit. It means we should commune in spirit. It means we should have encounters in the spirit. It means we are supposed to. The Bible says it is the deep that calleth unto the deep. Pastor K will say it is God that talks to God. Only God talks to God. No human can talk to God. Once a human being starts talking to God, it is a disorderly manner. It is a malfunction of the process. So if God must talk to God, when we must talk to God through our spirit, how then do we think we should talk to ourselves who are the children of God? God is a spirit, and they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. And each time we gather together, or we lift up our hands at home, we worship God, we talk to God in truth and in spirit and in truth. How then do we now come back to talk to ourselves in flesh and in human bodies? It is supposed to be the same language we speak to God is the same language we are supposed to speak to ourselves. That's why the Bible says we should speak to ourselves in psalms and in hymns, because that is the language of the Spirit. There is a particular language that is acceptable in honor. It is the language of the Spirit. We don't talk to our human bodies. We don't talk with our human bodies. We don't talk to our flesh. We don't talk with our flesh. We talk with our spirit. Because our spirit has a voice. Our spirit understands. It has ears. It can hear. We can talk to each other. What language do we speak to our spirit? How do we speak to our spirit? Our spirit is not poor. So why do we call ourselves poor? Our spirit is not wretched. Why do we call ourselves wretched? Our spirit is not sick. Why do we call ourselves sick? Our spirit is not that one that steals. He can't steal. Why do we call ourselves thieves? Our spirits are not the things that people say. It is what our bodies say. Am I denying the fact that sometimes we make mistakes? No, sir. But what are we supposed to do? We look it through our eyes. We look through the goggles of God's eye and see what God is calling us, and then call us by that name. What is it that God is calling you? That is what I'm supposed to call you. If I call you anything less, it is dishonor. If I call you anything less, it is dishonor. If you call me anything less, it is dishonor. We call ourselves by what God is. That's why the Bible says it is what you say you will receive. If you must receive what you say, then we must learn to call ourselves by what God is calling us. Look at the story here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 18, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. What they have on how they look is physical. It is human. It is temporal. We don't evaluate people by how they look and by what they have. Let's go ahead. We look at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. Remember when Jesus appeared, some people call him the carpenter son. Some people call him, do you understand? They looked at him disdainfully. They didn't see him with the eyes of the Spirit. So they got it all wrong. And so let's move ahead. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. This is verse 17 now says, now we look inside. We look inside. It means we don't look at the persons outside. We look at the persons inside. Now we look inside. Let's go ahead. Okay. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Is created new. The old life is gone. A new life begins. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. Now, when God looks at us, he looks at us as people whom he has settled his relationship with. He looks at us as people who don't have any fracas with him anymore. He looks at us as people who he is not angry with, people that are not angry with him anymore. And now he has settled his relationship with us. He now calls us to come and settle our relationship with ourselves. He said we should reconcile ourselves to ourselves. Because if you call me the what I am not, it means you have not been reconciled to the me that God has created. If I call you who you are not, it means I have not been reconciled to the you that God has created. So it means I should stand in the balance and see my reconciliation with you. Who are you right now? You are a son of God. Reverend Ben will say, the highest title on earth is to be called the child of God. And if you are a child of God, what do you think is less of you? If I call you demon, it is the highest dishonor. Because a child of God cannot be a demon. Because if I call you a demon, because it means I am drawing your identity. Who gave you identity is your father. It means I am drawing your identity from your father. And of course, your father is not a demon. And if I call you a demon, it means I have traced you outside of God. And then I've connected you somewhere else. If I call you a thief, I call you a liar. What I have done is the father of lies. Isn't that? The devil. It means I have cut you off from the tree of God. I have now aligned you to the tree of someone else, which is dishonor. So what I'm supposed to do is to see you connected to the tree of God because God has reconciled with you. So I must walk in that reconciliation. Hallelujah. Number two, because I'll have to run right now. Dishonor will make people not to be able to draw from the supernatural realm of us all, both individually and corporately. It is dishonor that makes people come to church like Fem Foundation and remain unblessed. You know why? I'll share with you. Someone came to church with his wife and his child and came to accuse Pastor K not to have visited her or something. I can't remember the reason. And in this hall and quarreled with Pastor K. You know what the husband did? While she was quarreling, she heard her child. The husband went straight to the woman. He didn't touch the woman. He collected the woman, the child. First of all, he heard the child and dragged the child, collected the child, and now separated himself and the child. Now he said, I cover myself and my child with the blood of Jesus. Now, the issue, you know, you are laughing, is it not? It's okay. You know why I have to tell, because, of course, I've been privileged to be here for some time, and I experience all of this. I hear, I see, I've been here, I will remain here. All of us will be here. All of us will be here, amen? The man covered himself with the blood of Jesus and covered the Peking with the blood of Jesus. If there's anything like Peking, cover with the blood of Jesus. Now, she says this to me. I heard it once she has said it. It's you. 20 times have I heard. If Bible, if. Amen? We are not grace made. You don't understand. She is a woman. She possesses all the features of a woman like you. Is it not? So sometimes you might be confused by thinking that because she possesses the human features like you, you are like her. You and her did not come from anywhere that resembled one place at all. She was from among us. Listen to me very carefully. I'm saying this. Even Reverend Ben will stand here and say some people, he will tell some people do this, and they will look at him and not say, hey. In my heart of hearts, I bleed. You know why? He was from among us. Listen to my words. He was from among us. A long time ago, the God of heaven picked him. The God of heaven picked her from amongst us. From amongst us. And then I'll take him far and put him in front of us. Listen, I get this picture. They were from all of us like this. We were sitting like this. So God came into the congregation, picked, and brought them forward. And now put his anointing on them. And now said, you are the apple of my eye. Go and read that scripture. You are the apple of my eye. It's not talking to church members. Oh. You know, it is easy for you to quote it. You are the apple of my eye. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm the apple of God's eye. When you are quoting that scripture in a context like this, it's not talking to church members. Because God, instead of God to give up that one person that is the leader, he will rather sweep the entire generation. That's why God will speak to Moses, I will save only you, and then I will wipe out the entire people. Because God saw Moses as equal to the entire generation put together. So there is no one individual that is equal to the leader. It is all the followers put together that is equal to one leader. So if anyone raises his ugly head against the leadership, you know what will happen? Even though you want to come here to pray, they have the right and the privilege and the authority to come here to say to God, let him pray, but don't answer the prayer. So dishonor will make us not to be able to fetch from that spiritual realm. There is a well that all of us need to fetch from. Dishonor makes some of us carry empty bucket home every Sunday. You know the Samaritan woman, every day she comes to fetch water. The day she recognizes Jesus and honored Jesus, the water she fetched that day, she never came back to that well again. You think as we come, all of us will dance, all of us are feeling cool and cozy, and it is blessing, you will come back again. But for you to pass this level to the next level, you have to give honor to whom honor is due. I'm not preaching it to read. In fact, they didn't give me message. This one that I'm saying is the one that I prepared. So I just went to my archive because the time they gave me is not enough to prepare message. Any message is not less than, go and ask Pastor Derek, it's not less than FDA class is not less than 6 hours of preparation. FDA class, FDA, so that should you understand what I'm trying to, not message. So that is individually and corporately. For our church to enter into its destiny, all of us must walk in honor. All of us must walk in honor. Look at this scripture. People, can you help me? Okay. Are we going front or we are going back? Okay, we are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We are speaking for Christ himself now because become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How? You say, in Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong. We could be put right with God. Number three, because I need to run now. Dishonor makes people know Jesus very well, but very incorrectly. Somebody is laughing. Dishonor makes people to know Jesus very well, very sincerely, incorrectly. They know Jesus very well, but they don't know Jesus. They are closely far. When you see them, they are very close to Jesus. But when you analyze their closeness, they are very far from Jesus. Have you read that story before? They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's dishonor. Dishonor makes people know Jesus. They have the banner of Jesus in front of their building. They have Jesus hanging everywhere in their rooms. They even have the Bible, different translations of Bible. But the God of the Bible, like Pastor Derek, is far from them. Pastor Derek will always say so. When you are, the God of the Bible is far from you. Sorry. Look at this story. Matthew 16:13-17. It's just in one page. He said, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Look at the reply. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets, or one of the prophets. Jesus now turned to them. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Now, turn to the person seated by you and ask him, what do you say I am? Get a reply, please. You get a reply. It's a simple, it's an exercise. No, don't laugh over it. Ask, get a reply. The same question that Jesus asked the disciples, ask the person sitting close to you. Now, check the answer the person gave you, whether it was revealed to him by your Father in heaven or it is his flesh that told you. Now, this exercise is simple. Any day you stand in front of anybody and anybody calls you a name, you have the right to gauge that name. Censor it. This thing that this person has called me, where is it from? Is it revealed to him by my Father in heaven, or it is flesh that is telling him? Most times we quarrel based on the things that people say concerning us, which their flesh revealed to them. Most times we have sleepless nights based on what people say concerning us, which their flesh revealed to them. Meanwhile, the Bible says, know no man but the flesh. So if we quarrel with ourselves because you are a fool, somebody looks at me and tells me you are a fool, and I will now pick offense. First of all, I will now look at the person. I will look at the person. Mm-mm. This cannot be revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. As long as it is not from my Father who is in heaven, it is misplaced identity. Is that what they call it? Something is missing somewhere. You have an idea, but where you are talking from, the root where you are talking from, is far from where I'm from. So we are not in the same line at all. So I can't quarrel with you because where I am from is not where you are from. The Bible says, he that is from above is above all. Instead of me to be thinking and putting my mind on the things that is from above, because that is what the Bible says we should do. Now, why do I quarrel when people raise things from underneath? Why do I shout? Because things that are said to me are from the periphery of this life. Jesus said, Peter, this thing you have said was not said to you by anything, but it was said to you by my Father who is in heaven. So please, each time we want to address ourselves, let's be conscious to the extent that what we say to each other is what is revealed to us by our Father who is in heaven. If we say anything outside what our Father is saying, it is dishonor in this house. And you know something? This house can move more than where we are in all ramifications if we learn to honor each other. You know, like I said, I use myself every day, and I won't stop using myself. The day I entered this church that I was well received by Pastor Enoma, if I was not received that day like that, maybe today I would not have been alive. Two, having been received like that, how many of you, do you know how I was received? If you know the story, let me see your hand. Just few people, in three sentences. The first day I came to this church, I was battered. I wanted to come and say to God, you see, let's negotiate. Now I'm coming home. So, whatever they say, anybody who ties rope and put neck, it goes to hell. But on this one, because I had a preconceived mind that God is one judge. Because I am brief, when he holds me by the hand, he will be very angry. That he will whine and whine and whine me like this. He wants to throw me to hell. He will whine and whine and whine. When he releases me, he will throw me beyond hell, and then I will land in heaven. Now, oh, Jesus of Nazareth. No, some of you are not coming from where I'm coming from. So that was what I came to come and discuss with God. But when it was this door, this one. Was this, I came through here and entered through this door. When they opened the door, of course, you know I'm half of Pastor Enoma. As you are seeing me, I'm 100% bigger on this side though. So don't be deceived by this look, all right? Amen? I'm 100% bigger on this side. I'm just like this, okay? This head suit, if it's possible for me to change it, I would have changed it. But when you look inside, I'm 100% bigger inside though. Amen? Amen now. So when he opened the door, first of all, he held my hand and shook it. He said, "You are welcome." I said, "Ah." I look here. I look at him. He said, come and sit down. Ah, he brought me and put me in the chair. I was looking. Was it me? Was he talking to me? Hey, I said, okay. What I did, everybody was dancing. I can't remember the song, but I passed through that door and went out that way. So I went to stand by this small gate that is no longer being opened now. I saw that he was still there and he was opening the door for people. I came again and entered. He shook me again. And see, smile. Ha! Is it faking it? I be something. So everything that was said on that day, I didn't hear. I can't remember anything, but I remember that one. When they now announced that there was midweek service, it was Tuesday and Thursday that time. So I went to mark my calendar. Tuesday. Unfortunately, that Tuesday I came, it was not at the door. I didn't remember. I said, ah. So I went to look for his guys. I went to that man that is there. He said he's not. He went to farm. I said, farm? I said, yeah, farm? I said, yeah, okay. Before service closed, he had come. And then he went to stand by the door. I said, hey! So I stood, went out of that door, and came again. When he saw me, hi! He opened his teeth and smiled and heard me and shook it. He said, how was your day? I don't know if I get a good day. He shook me. And then by the time I entered, I discovered that there's something spectacular about him. So the first person I knew in this church was Pastor Enoma. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for helping me to honor him. It was an usher. It was head usher that I didn't know. In fact, because where I'm coming from, we don't have usher. I don't know which is the usher. Amen. And when he was going, I now asked him, so where is your place? Where do you stay? Every time he comes to church, I must enter two times. I will go and ease myself. When I enter, he's not around. I will step back. This year, you people are laughing at it. Oh, God. It was where my healing started. Oh. I know where that time. Shaking of hand and welcoming me well was part of the healing process that God put in my hand. Amen? Yes, I was. That's why I said I didn't want to use the term. I was actually, I came in to come and pray so that I can go and tie rope and put her. Because the thing I have that have happened to me, you see the way I'm looking, I'm younger than this face. Oh. This is not my real face. Oh. Amen. Honor. Honor. I went to look for his house. And the first day I got to his house, saw the wife. Powerful family. Let me just give you a brief. That's why I still love that family. I still go there up till now. When I go there, as I get there, it's only me that goes to the fridge. Open the fridge. Fushiki! With the leg. Me! He served me with fushiki. He was now asking me what to eat. Brought cold mud. Ah, me? Chicken? Mud? Me? Ah, he said, I should eat. I said, ah. I was using style. He said, ah, you have not finished it. Eat. Ah, they dissected the thing. Ah, me? Eat. Mud? Chicken? For our place. Now Christmas Day, now the thing is your chicken. Only on Christmas Day. In 5 minutes, if you want to eat rice, it's on Sunday. They don't eat rice every other day. Just like Easter is coming now. Hey, you prepare to eat rice. Don't eat rice any day. Chicken. Egg. Not the only you to worship. In fact, if they put egg, you touch it, you have the tendency to steal. Don't mind me. It's my life. It's what I've experienced. Another person you helped me to appreciate is my wife. Oh. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus, we always say, before I looked at you, before I opened my mouth to see you, look at the story of the woman that was caught in the very act. Everybody had a name for her. And they brought her to Jesus. For me, people say, Jesus bent down to write. Of course, in my own mind, I'm thinking, at that point, Jesus was looking for a name to call the woman. It's my own understanding. He bent down. I was looking for everything that people were saying. He was writing it down. He said, ah, let's stone her. We'll write stone her. He said, ah, she's an adulterer. Write adulterer. That is what I think Jesus was writing. But at the end of the day, he's now looked at them. None of those names resemble the identity of this woman. And by the time he lifted up his eyes, he saw that every name that all of these persons wrote down were written on the foreheads of all of these people. And he now asks them, if anyone who is standing here has never done anything at all, be the first to cast your stone. That means be the first to cast your name on this woman. Come on. Those stones represented the names, because when they stoned her, when they named her, those names were supposed to form a kind of a load that would have killed her, that would have pushed her to her grave. And so Jesus said, if you have any name to call this woman, if you have never made any mistake before, be the first to call her this name. Because I have a name I needed to call her. I have seen her identity. God never calls her these names. And so everybody began to drop their names in the name of those stones. They began to drop their names. They began to drop their names. And by the time he lifted up his head, everybody have dropped the names that they brought from the negative world. It was only remaining Jesus' name. And he turned unto her. He said, I never seen you sinning, woman. Go home and see no more. I don't see you as a sinner. I see you as a righteous woman who just made a mistake. People may be calling you the names they are calling you, but I don't call you by that name. I honor you because I'm honorable, not because you are honorable. For the honor I give to you is the honor I carry from above. Honor is not an earthly, reward. It's a heavenly mandate that is sent by God to give to men. So when you honor people, you are activating an anointing in heaven for a generation that is yet to come. Come, I pray that today the anointing of God will be so much on our church, or will be so much on our family, that what we do is to go to heaven every day and pluck the fruits of honor and then give to people to eat. We no longer will call people by the sins they commit. We no longer will call people by the mistakes they make. We no longer will call people by the kind of life they live. We no longer will call people by the way they dress. We no longer will call people by how they look, what they eat, and where they go to. But we will call them by the name of the Lord God of heaven. And I bless this name. I bless this church. I bless this family with the honor of God in the name of Jesus. Let's move ahead and just finish. Dishonor presents us as a city of unbelief. Dishonor presents us as a city of unbelief. What is unbelief? Look at what I define as unbelief. Honor is releasing life by recognizing the glory that is in another. But unbelief or dishonor is denying life by undermining the glory that is in another. Come on. When you dishonor people, you undermine their glory. When you dishonor people, you deny them of life. But when you honor people, you give them life. You ascribe life to them. When Jesus honored the woman that was caught in the very act, he added to her life. When the people came, they wanted to deny her of life. They wanted to deny her of her glory. But when Jesus showed up by honoring her, he added to her life. When the people are asking for long life and prosperity, you know what long life and prosperity can come? The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. For this is the first commandment with promise, but your life may be longer. Honor adds to life. Dishonor subtracts from life. And so when we honor ourselves, we will live longer. When we honor ourselves, we will live much more longer. Honor brings life much more, but dishonor cuts off life. When the Bible says that the number of a man is supposed to be 120 years, it was dishonor that reduced it to 70, 3 score years and 10. But honor can still extend it to number 120. We can live up to that. We can live to fulfill our dreams and fulfill our days. Dishonor will only make us to lose our lives. I round up by saying, in a culture of honor, leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people according to the names God gives to them and not according to the alliances they receive from people. They treat them as free sons and daughters, not slaves, as righteous, not sinners, as worthy, not poor. And then in the same vein, in a family of honor like Fem Foundation, sons and daughters live with honor by courageously treating ourselves and our fathers and our mothers according to the names God gives to them, not according to the alliances they receive from people. They treat them as free fathers and free mothers, not as slave mothers and slave fathers, as righteous mothers and fathers, not as righteous sinners, not as sinners or fathers who are sinners or mothers who are sinners. We treat them as fathers who are worthy, not fathers who are poor. I present to you today the grace, the power, the opportunity to honor us, the opportunity to honor the people that are up, the opportunity to honor everyone that is along, and the opportunity to honor people who are the downer. If you are a man of honor tonight, I need you to rise up on your feet and go on ahead. Don't pray. Go and meet 2, 10, 5 people and tell them, I see honor in you. Give them the names that God gives to them. Call them by the names of God. Pray for them and tell them, I see you are a righteous brother. I see you a righteous sister. I see you are the son of God. I see you are the I am that I am. I see you are the lion of the tribe of your family. You are a son of God. I see you as a son of God. I don't see you as a man and a woman who would disregard God. This is our prayer. This is our honor. This is the thing that we need to do. This is where we need to go. We honor ourselves. We honor our fathers. We honor our mothers. We honor our brothers. We honor ourselves. And we honor all. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.